If you have your Bibles this morning in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? In other words, God gave you life. Your life is of much more value than what you put into it, the food you put into it. And if God gave you the life, He'll give you what sustains that life. He's the one that gave you the body, and the body is of much more value than the raiment that you put on the body. If God gave you the body, then He's going to give you the raiment that goes on the body. Okay? So, behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit, 18 inches, to his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all of these things do the Gentiles or the pagans or the heathen seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But get this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we're so glad this morning for the privilege that we have to know our Heavenly Father and to be aware through the Scriptures of how He thinks upon us and what He thinks about us as His children and the promises that You've given to us as the children of God. Oh, God, impress upon our hearts Your Word this morning, and we'll give You the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. First things first. That's what I'm going to preach to you about this morning is first things first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. It's the curse of mankind to push inferior things to the forefront of life. It's the purpose of Christ to commit us to putting first things first. Christ warns us about that aspect of our being that tends to dominate our mind. You notice in my text here, He speaks about the body, the appetites, the needs of that body, which drives most people to distraction. Satisfying the body, satisfying the social needs, satisfying the physical needs, satisfying the emotional needs, satisfying the psychological needs of the body leaves us little time for cultivating our relationship with God. And God says there's some things that must be first in our life. And we must put first things first. There's a contrast between the priorities of the pagan and the priorities of the disciple of Christ. After all of these things do the Gentiles seek. That is the pagans, the heathen. There is a focus on their life on material things. They're bounded by material things. So they seek after those things that they can see and touch and feel and taste. But that's not the case for the children of God. Hallelujah. They have different priorities. They seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And God said he would add to them all things that they need. So the priorities of the pagan are not the priorities of the child of God. The Bible tells us in my text in verse 25, take no thought for your life. Now that doesn't mean that you're to have no forethought, but it does mean that you're not to be characterized by anxiety about the future and what you're going, what's going to happen to you in the future. You're not to be anxious and worried about tomorrow. So when he says take no thought, he means that you are not to be worried, you're not to be anxious about the necessities of life. Food and raiment are necessities of life. He's not talking about you being worried and anxious about, unnecessary things about life. He's talking about the necessities of life. Food and raiment, those things that are necessary to your living, you're not to be worried and anxious about it. To relieve our care, this is what God tells us to do. He says, I want you to consider God's care for birds and flowers. Look at this, the birds of the air. The subject here is food. And he says, behold the fowls of the air. Verse 26. They sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? The fowls of the air do not plant. They do not harvest. They do not store up food. But God takes care of them. They are busy. They're not idle. Birds are not idle. They're busy, but they're not worried. Hallelujah. Because God takes care of the birds. In other words, nature reveals the work of a loving God. He said, you look at the birds of the air. Notice how they're taken care of. Who is taking care of them? Your heavenly Father. Praise God. So those birds of the air that are not nearly as important to God as you are, but God takes care of the birds of the air. So he says, I want you to see in nature the hand of a loving God. And it is not the heavenly Father of the birds that feeds them. It is your heavenly Father that feeds them. Praise God. So he makes that personal to the disciples of Jesus. Your heavenly Father is who feeds the birds. And they do not stand in the same relationship with God as we do. They are not as important to God as we are. And so the question assumes the answer. Are ye not much better than they? Hallelujah. God esteems you above the fowls of the air. Notice in verse 28. He talks about the lilies of the field. And his subject here is raiment. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. They toil not, neither do they spin. That is, they cannot toil. They cannot spin. They are totally dependent on our Heavenly Father. And our Heavenly Father clothes the lilies of the field. How well does he clothe them? Well, he said even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of the lilies of the field. Praise God. Hallelujah. The greatest splendor of the greatest king, but cannot match the splendor of the lilies of the field. God clothes them in splendor. A wealthy king dressed in his royal regalia asked the philosopher, he said, did you ever see a fairer spectacle? And the wise man replied, pheasants and peacocks, for they are clothed with a natural splendor and exceeding beauty. And if God so cares for the lilies of the field, and God so clothes the animals of the field, look at what he said in verse 30. Wherefore God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Shall he not much more clothe you? If those lilies of the field that are totally dependent on God, and God provides for them, then you can lose your worries and discard your anxieties and put your trust in a loving heavenly Father. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then he says, this is reasons to relieve your care. He says, consider the futility of anxiety. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? That is, which one of you by worrying can change anything? You can't change anything. Worrying doesn't change anything. Being anxious about things don't change anything. I'll tell you what does, trust in God. I tell you what does, committing yourself to the Lord. I tell you what does, when you are in the hands of God, you can throw your worries away. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Then he says, consider the attention of your heavenly Father. Look in verse 32. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Your heavenly Father is aware at all times of your needs. And you, when you go to him and say, God, I've got this need. I'm going to tell you something. You didn't tell him anything new. He already knew what your needs were. God is aware of your needs. I'm telling you that he's looking on you. The very hairs of your head are numbered. And God cares about you. And he wants you to understand from nature what God does in nature. What a loving, watchful, caring heavenly Father you've got. Amen. So we don't have to be worried or anxious. We have lessons to show us that we can trust God. But since we are not to be anxious and worried, what are we to do? We are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So there is something that we are to do. We're not to be worried and anxious, but there's something we are to do. We're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, listen to this. We're to esteem more highly and pursue single-mindedly the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. We're to keep a clear focus on those things that are most important. Seeking first, putting first things first. Seeking the kingdom of God. And you know, just a few verses ahead of this, the Lord taught his disciples to pray like this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And now he's saying to us that this has got to be priority in our life. The kingdom of God must have priority in our life. We live to expand the reign of Christ. We live to extend the domain of Jesus, to bring souls in submission to the rule of Jesus Christ. It is a cause that dominates our mind. It's a cause that quickens our steps. It's a cause that brings us out of the bed every morning. It's a cause that keeps us on our knees. It's a cause that keeps us working and laboring in the fields, because there is something greater than ourselves. It's the kingdom of God. We have a cause to live for. We're not anxious for our personal interest, but we are committed to the interest of the kingdom of God. Do you hear me? I said, as the people of God, we are not anxious for our personal interest, but we are committed to the cause of the kingdom of God. Seeking first the kingdom of God. You've heard me tell the story about the Baptist preacher from Cleveland, Tennessee, by the name of Ed Ballou. Brother, can't think of his name. Brother Addis gave me a tape of this brother years ago. I played this tape. It was on prayer.
I ain't never heard a sermon on prayer like it in my life. I cried and laughed and cried and rejoiced, and it was just wonderful. Ed Ballou, I don't know if he's still alive or not, but he told about pastoring this big church somewhere. I don't know where it was, but he said the church was just growing by leaps and bounds. People are getting saved. Parking lot had been paved. They'd put in a preacher's parking space, and he was gone off somewhere preaching one night, and he'd come home late at night, after midnight, decided he'd pull in the church and go in and pray a little bit. He's feeling pretty good about himself, parked in that pastor's parking space. Church are running 500. People getting saved. He's feeling like he's really doing a great job. So he walks in the church, and when he walks in the church, he notices a light up front. And it sort of scares him. And so he comes to the door and looks in carefully. And when he looks in, he sees a little boy that attends his church, a crippled little boy, draped over the altar. A little boy that can't speak plain, a little boy that's crippled, a little boy that when he slips into the church, nobody wants to have anything to do with him, so he just sort of slips in, slips to the side, sits on the back pew. Nobody ever notices him. He never has anything to say. Well, he's curious. Here's that little boy draped across the altar up front, little light on up there. So he makes his way quietly into the sanctuary where he can hear what that little boy is saying. He says the little boy is speaking in his fumbling way. He can't talk plain. But he's saying, God, I thank you that you are saving souls. I have been praying for you to save souls. And you have been answering my prayers. And I thank you, God, for what you're doing in this church. And Ed Ballou stood there, and he said, all of a sudden, I realized it won't Ed Ballou the reason that God was blessing in the house of God. It was that little boy draped over the altar. And so he said, from that day on, I didn't let that little boy sit on the back pew. I brought him up front and set him in a place of honor. I'm telling you, brother, when our hearts and our minds are focused on the kingdom of God, that there's something bigger than me, something greater than my own interest. It's the interest of the kingdom of God. We've got kingdom builders in this church. Thank God there's some kingdom builders in this church. And I pray that everybody in this house would make a commitment this new year that I am going to be a kingdom builder. I am going to do my best to spread the good news of Jesus Christ and be an instrument in the hands of God to spread the domain of Jesus in this world. We're to seek first the kingdom of God. Secondly, we are to seek His righteousness. We're to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So, I'm telling you now, if you say that you're saved, that I'm going to believe it unless you prove otherwise. But here is one of the marks of people that really get saved. They become interested in what they once had no interest in. They become interested in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So the Bible tells us just a few verses before this, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Brother, I'm telling you, when you get an experience with God, you didn't once hunger after righteousness. But when you get an experience with God, when you meet Jesus Christ, there's a new hunger inside of you. You begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Praise God. You want to do what's right. You want to please God. You want to conform to the Word of God. There's something inside of you that calls you to a higher way of living. Oh, glory to God. Jesus said just before this, He said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Brother, there's a higher righteousness.
It's the righteousness of Jesus. It's something we must seek for, hunger after, thirst for. And God says, I'll give you my righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What is that righteousness? He describes it for us in the Sermon on the Mount. The poor in spirit, the tenderhearted, they that mourn, tenderhearted, the meek, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers. And then he says in verse 21, chapter 5, you've heard it said, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill be in danger of the judgment. I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Reka, which is a term of contempt, shall be in danger of the council. Whosoever shall say to thou fool, which is an expression of, one is an expression of contempt for the status of a person in life. This next phrase, thou fool, is contempt for the character of people. Thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. And this is part of the righteousness that we're to seek for, is the righteousness of dealing with our fellow man. He went on to say, this is the righteousness we're to seek for. He said, you've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So I'm telling you that when you have a heart that's hungry for the righteousness of God, then you protect the purity of your heart. You do that by protecting the purity of what you look at, what you listen to, where you go. And you know, a lot of times we're careless with our souls. And that old box sitting in the living room on 24 hours a day, anything and everything coming over it, and you sitting there taking in the world and the enticements and allurements of the world, don't tell me that you hunger after righteousness when you're feeding on filth. Amen. I can't make it no plainer than that, but I'm telling you, if you're hungering after righteousness, you're not feeding on filth. What about these people that seek first the righteousness of God? They give in secret, they pray in secret, they fast in secret, and God rewards them openly. We're to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So we're not to be anxious about what the necessities of life, but we are to seek the first things of life, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then here's the final thing. We're to trust God for the results. For He said, all of these things shall be added unto you. In other words, God makes a divine commitment to you that He will take care of you if you put Him first. He's a covenant-keeping God. He said, Malachi 3:10, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I will tell you, God is not going to be stingy with you. You give to God and you put Him first. God is not going to be stingy with you. Hallelujah. God's going to bless you. My God shall supply all of your need according to, what is it according to? Amen. What's He drawing from? My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory. If I could persuade you all this morning to trust God with your life, to trust God with your finances, to put God first in your life, I promise you, brother, God is a covenant-keeping God. You can throw your worries away when you're putting God first in your life. What about those who prosper without seeking first the kingdom of God? And plenty of them do. Lots of people are rolling it in, and God is not first in their life. What about them? Well, some people worry about them. Psalm 37. Listen to this. Psalm 73, I'm sorry. Some of you know what that is. Listen to what he says. He had the same problem you do. He was thinking the same way that you're thinking. He said, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had wound. I slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There are no bands in their death. Their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. Pride compassed them about as a chain. Violence covered them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They're corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. Skipping down to verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. He said, verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain. I've washed my hands in innocency. All the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Look at this. When he realized that the prosperity of the wicked was only temporary, that there was coming an end to that prospering and wickedness, he began to speak about his single-minded pursuit of God. Listen to this. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. That's the single-minded man who has got first things first. Hallelujah. And I want to say to you in closing here this morning, with oil hitting $100 a barrel and gas pushing over $3 a gallon, and groceries are heading for the roof, and heat and oil already gone out the roof, and the dollar's so weak on the markets, and housing is plummeting, and the values of homes are plummeting, and people are worried all over this country. But I'm telling you, when you're anchored in Jesus, praise the name of the Lord, and you've got Him first in your life, then it doesn't matter what happens to the stock market. It doesn't matter what the Dow Jones average is doing. It doesn't matter whether real estate values are going up and down. There's something that remains the same. It's the promise of God to His children. If you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. Let's stand together.